You say that you're watching me on the telly. See me go nowhere. Your name is Big Brother. You say that you're tired of me protesting.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Frank Snapp, a Peabody Award-winning investigative journalist, most recently for KNBC in Los Angeles, and the author of two CIA memoirs, Decent Interval, an account of the fall of Saigon based on his perspective as the CIA's chief strategy analyst there, and Irreparable Harm, the inside story of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision, U.S. versus Snapp, that defines the legal rights and risks of U.S. intelligence employees who become whistleblowers in national security cases. As a result of the CIA winning a court verdict against Snapp, he must clear his writing through the CIA. His latest article at CNN is Snowden and a Muzzled Free Press. Welcome to Background Briefing, Frank Snapp.
Good afternoon, Ian.
And Frank, I don't know whether you have any comments on Bruce Fein, who's representing Lon Snowden, who's trying to communicate with Edward Snowden and having to do so through WikiLeaks. And they feel that WikiLeaks is actually speaking for Snowden now. But he did. Bruce Fein really did slam the Congress. And in your piece in CNN, you're suggesting that the Congress making these grandstanding about Snowden being a threat, and anybody in the press who publishes what he says is equally guilty of being traitors, etc. So the Congress, rather than dealing with what Snowden has told us about, they seem to be jumping on the bandwagon of hunting him down and bringing him back in shackles.
Well, you know, this controversy brings out hypocrisy on all sides. Your previous guest, I believe, served the Reagan administration, which was the first administration actually to prosecute a U.S. official under the espionage charges, the laws, simply for leaking to the press, and they won a conviction. It was the first time it had ever been done. So spare me his indignation. We are, in fairness, dealing with issues we've never confronted before. But we're dealing with the most highly classified intelligence in the intelligence lexicon, communications intelligence. There are special laws that cover it. And the damage its exposure can bring is beyond calculation. We have no idea. It can also do a great deal of damage in the wrong hands, and that's what Snowden is talking about. We are also in a situation where irony is the only way to describe the way the oversight process is running. Yes, there is a FISA court, that's a secret court erected to police the NSA, and it makes its deliberations in secret, and the only way we can learn about them is through leaks. That doesn't sound very reassuring. And Congress has acted like Congress, which is it sort of stood back in the face of national security plaints from time immemorial and never been willing to inject itself. That was true of the case I was involved in, which made its way all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and by the way, is the only U.S. Supreme Court decision which bears on the kind of civil liabilities Snowden would face. And I can tell you, when that my case was going forward, nobody in Congress stepped forward to ask that the brakes be put on. The U.S. government was espousing theories which could extend to the press as well as to errant whistleblowers from the CIA. So chaos reigned. And when chaos reigns, then leaks rain down. And nobody performs very well. Let's start with what I wrote about, and then if we can sort of back into some of the issues that Mr. Fein and you were talking about. First off, there are three sets of laws which can be used against Snowden, and one set of them, or I should say two, directly threaten the press. And that's one of the things. I'm a journalist as well as a former whistleblower, former CIA agent. And I deal with classified sources, with classified information, and with covert sources all the time in my reporting. I'm reaching a situation now because of what's happening in the Snowden case, where I could be prosecuted for allegedly conspiring with a source to leak classified information. That's really the terrible new development that we're seeing coming out of the Snowden situation. The espionage acts, it turns out, are not very precisely written, and they are elastic enough to cover not only the perpetrator, the leaker, or a spy, but to anyone who conspires with him to disseminate information without the government's approval. And that conspiring is what brings the press into play and exposes the press potentially to sanctions. The communications statute, which is one of those that figures in the criminal complaint against Snowden, makes it possible to punish disclosures that are merely prejudicial to the U.S. interest, not disclosures that do great damage, but that are merely prejudicial. Well, any clever prosecutor could claim that a news gathering or a story based on aggressive news gathering is prejudicial. Unless your listeners believe that this is all hypothetical baloney, one should realize that Eric Holder and this liberal progressive administration is pursuing a line of legal logic right now with respect to the press, with respect to other leak cases, that would wind up seeing journalists prosecuted for conspiring to commit journalism if their source was engaging in unauthorized disclosures. My case, which came out of civil law and which was endorsed, or the government's position was endorsed by the U.S. Supreme Court, basically means that if you're a leaker or an associate of a leakers, like a publisher or like the press, you can be bankrupted and you can be gagged without even the government proving that you have leaked secrets, that you are an Edward Snowden or an Edward Snowden accomplice, that you're Glenn Greenwald, or what have you. The only thing they have to do is to show that you assisted your source in breaching a non-disclosure agreement. They don't have to prove that, by the way, you've leaked secrets or there is anything classified about your handouts. The only thing they need to do to set you up for prosecution is to show that you broke a non-disclosure agreement or that you assisted someone in doing so. And what that means is the First Amendment is dissolving as protection for all of us, for journalists, for the average citizen who may feel compelled to echo Edward Snowden's disclosures. And so that's all of these developments are in the works. And we're, as I say, we're in a situation now, and this has been developing prior to the Snowden case, because this administration has been looking for ways really to go after Julian Assange. And if they can make it appear that Julian Assange, by receiving Bradley Manning's handouts, he's the Army private who's on trial now for espionage, but if they can show that Assange conspired to elicit those disclosures, then Assange will be set up for an espionage prosecution under the conspiracy theory of espionage, that he conspired in these breaches. So what has happened is that the Snowden crisis, this leak fest, has brought what was a smoldering development, a threat to the press, into full flame. And one of the reasons I wrote about it is because my experience as a whistleblower turned focus of Supreme Court ire. I've learned about a lot of this. I've learned it firsthand. My attorneys include some of the best First Amendment national security specialist in the country, from Alan Dershowitz, Floyd Abrams, you name it. I sat at their knee during my litigation, and I learned where we were going, and that was back in the 1980s. And what I see now happening is a burgeoning threat to the press because of concern over leakers like Snowden and Bradley Manning and their co-conspirators, if you will, like Assange. We're seeing a threat to develop to the mainstream press, and that's almost as terrifying as some of the things that Snowden is talking about.
Sure, and the mainstream press are largely oblivious to this threat. Again, Frank Snapp, Peabody Award-winning investigative journalist, most recently for KNBC in Los Angeles. He's the author of two CIA memoirs, Decent Interval, An Account of the Fall of Saigon, based on his perspective as the CIA's chief strategy analyst there, and Irreparable Harm, the inside story of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision, U.S. versus Snapp, that defines the legal rights and risks of U.S. intelligence employees who become whistleblowers in national security cases. As a result of the CIA winning a court verdict against Snapp, he must clear his writings through the CIA, and his latest article at CNN is Snowden and a Muzzled Free Press. And you've all, in your article, of course, you talk about how the ruling against U.S. U.S. versus Snapp is a ticking time bomb, and the time bomb kept ticking. And several years ago, it exploded in the CBS case, where the tobacco company leaned on CBS not to to run a 60 Minutes interview with Jeffrey Wigand, a whistleblower from the tobacco industry, that was going to finally tell the public the truth about how the tobacco industry had been lying for decades about the hazards of nicotine. CBS folded in that case. But your broader point is that now, under the Espionage Act and the way that they're going after Snowden, there is a contagious liability that could be passed on to journalists. So to my point, that it doesn't seem like the mainstream press, recognized the iceberg in front of this Titanic that we're on.
Yes, that's true. And just to give you an idea how the case you're talking about, the Wigand case, figures in the present context, don't forget that Snowden and Manning signed non-disclosure agreements, many of them, in fact, with various government agencies, particularly Snowden. And that means in the present situation, let's say Booz Allen, which was the contractor which hired Snowden in its latest government iteration. It's a consultant for the NSA. That's where he picked up all the secrets he's leaked, or at least the documentation for them. But let's say they decide that Glenn Greenwald of The Guardian, or the Washington Post reporter who participated also in breaking the Snowden story, that they assisted Snowden in breaching the non-disclosure agreements that he had signed with Booz Allen, Hamilton. What lawyers for Booz Hamilton could do is to get their lawyers to go in and threaten to sue the Post or the Guardian for continuing to cover the Snowden story. And what happened in the case you were discussing was that the cigarette manufacturer did exactly that with CBS, and CBS, 60 Minutes, folded. What would happen if Booz Hamilton decided to make the same threat against the teetering Guardian, or even newspapers that are less robust, that recycled Glenn Greenwald's disclosures based on the Snowden leaks? You can see how the dominoes could begin to topple, and how Booz Hamilton could begin to generate a threat to the coverage of this story, all because Snowden signed non-disclosure agreements whose strictures extend to people who assist him in breaching those agreements. So that's a very scary process, and that's one of the reasons the Supreme Court decision is so daunting. Just to make it even crazier for your listener, there's a great spy show on the air called The Americans. The producer, writer on that show, is a former CIA agent. he has to clear all of his scripts with the CIA. That's how just off the charts our anti-leak hysteria has become. And we're some seeing it come to full focus in the Snowden affair.
Well, Frank, it feels to me, though, that in your case, you know, it was like the establishment came down on you. You didn't release any secrets, but they were just offended by what you'd done, and they threw the book at you. And
well, you know, Ian, let me interrupt, because that's not really what happened. What happened then is what's happened now. My case reached the U.S. Supreme Court amidst the hysteria of the Iran hostage crisis and the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Everybody was terrified, howling about the threats to national security. The same thing has happened in the wake of 9/11, and this kind of environment is very bad for robust government oversight and for sensible court decisions. What happens is the watchdogs become timid puppies, and they basically kowtow to anyone who has the right dog whistle.
Right.
That's what happens when the empresarios of our espionage empire go before Congress and say, oh, my God, we won't be able to prevent another 9/11. Then you have Dianne Feinstein and all the rest of them quivering in their slippers or shoes, unwilling to intrude on the oversight, or I should say the intelligence process. And the crazy thing, again, to go back to the secret court, which whose authority was expanded in 2008 with an amendment to the Patriot Act, basically gives the overseers cover, because they can say, well, you know, even though we don't know how that court's ruled, it did rule, and therefore what the NSA is doing is court-sanctioned. We are in an Orwellian world when it comes to oversight and management of the intelligence community.
Well, Frank, what I was meaning to say was about the establishment is that, for example, the revelations from Snowden about the spying on the EU and the Europeans and the outrage that's been expressed in Europe flies against the logic that the same European countries that are allegedly outraged by what happened are the same ones that stopped Evo Morales' plane. So the feeling that I get is that there's a kind of establishment out there that wants to keep the secrets and they'll do anything to silence whistleblowers.
Yeah, but Ian, there's an establishment on each side of this debate.
Right.
I mean, look.
We've got about a minute here. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, I was simply going to say, look, one of the things that troubles me about Snowden is that he didn't do what a whistleblower did.
That's true.
He didn't do what Dan Ellsberg did or what I did. I went to all the authorities and said, look, help out. I'm going to go public, exactly what Ellsberg did. Right. And when the hammer came down, Ellsberg surrendered himself to authorities. I submitted to the judgment of the courts because I believe that's what you do in a democracy. You take your lumps. The problem with Snowden is he's Roger Rabbit, and he's beating a hasty retreat. He should come back to the United States if he wants to make a moral, ethical case for the arguments he has set forward. He's got to do it by putting his own freedom on the line. That's what whistleblowing is all about. He hasn't gone through that hoop.
Well, Frank Zappa, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.
Again, I've been speaking with Frank Snapper, who's a Peabody Award-winning investigative journalist, most recently for KNBC in Los Angeles, and the author of two CIA memoirs, Decent Interval, An Account of the Fall of Saigon, based on his perspective as the CIA's chief strategy analyst there, and Irreparable Harm, the inside story of the landmark U.S. Supreme Court decision, U.S. versus SNEP, that defines the legal rights and risks of U.S. intelligence employees who become whistleblowers in national security cases. As a result of the CIA winning a court verdict against SNEP, he must clear his writings through the CIA. His latest article at CNN is Snowden and a Muzzled Free Press. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with Erwin Chemerinsky about his article on the Roberts Court, Justice for Big Business.